You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
June the 15th, 2020, another tragic event over the weekend, another police shooting, white officer, black suspect, this one in Atlanta. Videos from various sources, including some of those who are witnessing it, plus from the police officer's cameras, and plus the security camera from the location, a Wendy's. This particular video, a lot of folks might rush to a quick judgment on it, which many of us did, and I was one with the George Floyd case in Minneapolis. But there are some things we're going to have to point out that are different here. I'm not going to make excuses one way or the other. I'm just going to point out to you some facts and issues that I think many are not going to take into effect, simply because, again, it's a police shooting, a white officer, black suspect. This is not going to be an easy conversation for many as we go through this next 2 hours, dealing with that and other issues as well. But I don't think we can simply duck and ignore it. We're going to have to focus on it and deal with it and try to make some semblance of understanding out of this event, especially compared to the George Floyd case. The first broad stroke is, it's another example of police violence, excessive force, lethal force when not called for, compared as we saw with the George Floyd case and others. I'm afraid this is not that clear cut, and I'll explain. And then, of course, we have the latest from Seattle, Chaz, or is it CHOP? I think they're trying to rename Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. And there's confusion inside the new state nation of Chaz. And of course, we still have the police chief of Seattle and the mayor of Seattle saying neither one taking responsibility for police abandoning that precinct headquarters and letting these protesters take it over and establish their own six-block area on the Capitol Hill area of Seattle. And there were pictures of those inside carrying weapons, in some cases what appeared to be AR-15s, which is very interesting because the left always against guns. And, of course, they immediately set up a barrier identifying their borders of their area, which, again, contrary to the leftists in general, we don't need no stinking borders. People can come and go. And, in fact, one of the new demands from the Chaz occupants is all the illegals in the U.S. right now should be made automatic citizens. And we're going to get into that in more detail. By the way, from Chaz, there have been tweets calling for guns to be brought in, and also tweets asking for cigarettes, Gatorade, maybe some food. Keep in mind, they decided to plant their own garden, but I guess they're realizing you can't just put stuff in the ground today, and it's going to be there tomorrow. So far, there's been no effort to shut down power or water for that area. And unfortunately, a lot of citizens caught in the middle of it, and businesses. And some of them already complained they've been extorted by folks coming to their door and say, you have no police protection in this area now. You want protection, we'll do it for you, but it's going to cost you. And also, we're going to hear from, a little bit later, Dr. Ben Carson on this rush to destroy our history. And Dr. Carson, I think, does a pretty good job of putting things in perspective. And then we also have more tragedies involving police officers who were simply doing their job. They had nothing to do with any event of either Floyd or the most recent one in Atlanta, and yet they've been targeted. because they are wearing a uniform and a police officer. Andrew in Chicago sent me a quote I had not seen for a while. I'm glad he did. Thomas Sowell, a black man, strong conservative, and often very poignant on his remarks. Here's the quote. The reason so many people misunderstand so many issues is not that these issues are so complex, but that people do not want a factual or analytical explanation that leaves them emotionally unsatisfied. That's going to bear repeating again later in the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
When you see a person fleeing, I do understand that there was a fight, an altercation. I do understand that there may have been an assault, but he's fleeing. Is it necessary to use deadly force to stop a person who is fleeing and he does not have in his hand a deadly force device? A taser is not considered a deadly force weapon. So he's fleeing. Is it necessary to kill him with this circumstance?
That is Congressman Al Green, Democrat of Texas, appearing on MSNBC, referencing the Atlanta event, the death of Rayshard Brooks. Now, Paul Howard, the Fulton County District Attorney, has already said that the encounter with two white officers, quote, that he did not seem to present a threat to anyone, and charges could come as early as Wednesday. And adding, the fact that it would escalate to his death seems unreasonable. He was referring to Rayshard Brooks, who suffered two gunshot wounds to the back, late Friday. The medical examiner said the gunshot wounds created organ failure because of blood loss. So the prosecutor, district attorney in Fulton County, says there are really three charges that are relevant. One would be the murder charge in the state of Georgia. That charge is a charge directly related to an intent to kill. The second charge, felony murder, that is a charge that involves a death that comes as a result of the commission of an underlying felony. In this case, underlying felony would be aggravated assault. So the decision has been made by the prosecutor that the Atlanta cop who shot Rayshard Brooks could face felony murder. And you heard Congressman Green of Texas saying he's fleeing. He does not have a deadly weapon in hand. Is it necessary to shoot in that circumstance? I'm going to break it down in more details for you, but let me give you a quote also from the Atlanta mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms. or statement from Saturday. There is a clear distinction between what you can do and what you should do. I do not believe this was a justified use of deadly force. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation, joining the investigation, looking at it, there's a lot of video from it. We are going to be posting it later today after this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll be able to see it. You make your own determinations on some things. And I'm going to break down some of that, even though you can't see it at this point. The beginning of the incident will be seen probably from a body camera worn by one of the officers, the one who fired the fatal shot. That would be, let me get these right names here. The officer who shot Brooks, identified by police as Garrett Rolfe, he has already been fired. And then another officer who was there with him, Devin Brosnan, has been placed on administrative duty. The beginning of the incident is a footage from a body camera worn by the other officer, Brosnan. Shows him arriving at the scene and approaching the man's vehicle. He was in a drive-in line at Wendy's. It's around 10:40 Eastern time Friday evening. Police were called because he apparently had gone to sleep behind the wheel in the drive-up line, and that's blocking other traffic. So Officer Brosnan knocks on the window to wake him up. He opens the door and says to Brooks, "Hey, man, you parked in the middle of a drive-in drive-through line here." At first, Brooks does not appear to respond. When he does, he's appearing disoriented, incoherent, asks whether he's tired, and then tells him, "Pull over to a parking spot," which he did. Moves it over, and then it apparently had to be awoken a second time. He is asked, "Have you been drinking?" He says, "I had only one drink." While they're searching for his license, Brosnan does make several requests for another officer to conduct a DUI test. And Brooks was saying that, one, he was celebrating a birthday of one of his children, then also saying he'd gone to his mother's gravesite and was emotional and bothered by that. Officer Brosnan says, "I'm sorry to hear that." Now, you may or may not see that. All of that I've described on the video we'll be posting. We're still in the process of putting it together. A few minutes later, Officer Rolfe arrives on the scene. Officer Brosnan gives him a quick rundown. And Rolfe begins questioning Brooks as to, "Well, how did you get here?" And Brooks says, "I don't remember being in the drive-through line." It appears he does not know where he is. A few minutes after 11 o'clock Eastern time, he begins a field sobriety test. And Brooks is asking, "What should I do?" After several tests, Officer Rolfe asked Brooks how he feels on a scale of 1 to 10. He said, "I feel kind of good, sir." They use a breathalyzer on Brooks. He's been polite, responsive, noncombative, sleepy, disoriented, and are drunk. Uses a breathalyzer on Brooks, who explains, "I had been drinking. It was my daughter's birthday." And Officer Rolfe says, "I think you've had too much to drink to be driving. Put your hands behind your back." That's 11:23, and that's where the struggle begins, because they ask him to put his hands behind his back, and as they take one hand and begin to cuff him, he begins struggling with each of the officers, fighting back. They're wrestling on the ground. At one point, one of the officers says, "You're going to get tased." Another video filmed by a bystander in the drive-thru line shows Brooks grab the stun gun. And one of the officers says, "Hands off the effing taser, hands off." The struggle continues. One of the officers says, "Stop fighting." Now, they got two of them on the ground. He's still fighting, grabbing for what he can. At that point, I want you to keep in mind, put yourself in the position of the officers. First of all, should you just go ahead and get in your car and you can leave and drive away? You can't do that. What if he goes down the street and runs over your child out on a bicycle because he's drunk? Now, we don't know that would have happened, but you cannot let someone that incapacitated back on the street and driving. So taking him into custody was the right and proper thing to do. And at that point, everything's been fine until they start to put the handcuffs on him. And that's when he starts struggling and, in fact, fighting back at them. And now you're wrestling around the ground, and the man is reaching and grabbing. You got to make sure he does not grab one of your service pistols or even the taser, anything that he could use as a weapon against you. Anything. A taser is not considered a lethal weapon. Period. You might recall in TV time, I've been hit by a taser. I'm still here alive. It's not going to kill you unless you're either hopped up on some meds and to some extent, or you have health issues. Generally, it's not going to be fatal. It is sometimes, but generally not. That's why police use them, to stop short of using lethal violence. But if a suspect has a taser in his hand and then he hits an officer and incapacitates an officer, then he might go for the gun. You can't allow that either. Eventually, Brooks does get hold of the taser, breaks free. As he stands up, the video appears to show that he hits Officer Rolfe in the face. Rolfe steps back, grabs his own taser, which he fires on Brooks as he begins to run away, Rolfe close behind him. On one camera, a surveillance camera from outside Wendy's captured what others didn't, and that's the moment of the encounter when it turned fatal. Most of Brooks' encounter with the police from that video occurs out of frame, but as he runs from the officers, he comes into view of the surveillance camera, followed by Officer Rolfe. Both are carrying tasers. As he follows Brooks, Rolfe is seen switching the taser from his right hand to his left, reaching for his pistol. At that moment, Rolfe turns back, appears to point the taser, and it appears that it's fired in the video I looked at, but I'm going to leave that to your judgment and decision to be made if it was or wasn't. But either way, at that time, Rolfe, who's had his handgun unholstered, fires. It's a running event. And, of course, being shot in the back, everybody's going to say, well, he was running away. Well, it's kind of hard because if you're in an event like that, a sudden twist of the body puts you in a position where you're hitting the back where you were facing. I'm not going to get in that part of the argument. I just want you to keep in mind, you just can't jump to that kind of conclusion. Brooks falls to the ground. After a few moments, officers attempt CPR. More officers and an ambulance arrive. At one point, some bystanders berating the officers, saying both of your careers are definitely done because you just shot a man for no reason. An attorney for Brooks' family has already said officers did not have to shoot Brooks, adding that a taser is not a deadly weapon. I'm going to concede that except two things. When he starts fighting police, they don't know what's going on. They've obviously identified his way above the breathalyzer count on drinking, DUI, what else he's got in the system, they don't know. They don't know what's going on in the background. They don't know what else he did before he started this. Those are the things an officer encounters all the time. Black, white, indifferent, it makes no difference. They don't know what they're walking into. But at this point, now he's wrestling, fighting with the officers. And when you begin fighting with officers, things can go bad in a hurry. It's quick and easy to blame the officers, but you can't do that. It's a pretty damn clear law you don't fight with police. Not in this case. All you had to do is put his hands behind his back, they're going to cuff him, put him in a car, and probably take him in to be booked on DUI. That would have been the end of it. They didn't go there to shoot a man, black or white. The reference to taser. Some things to keep in mind. In the heat of the moment, and officers, many have been there. I've done some training that comes close to replicating some things they face, but it's not the same because I know I'm not going to be hit with a lethal bullet and I'm not going to die on this training exercise. But for the officers who've been wrestling with him, heart beats up, there's a lot of motion going on, he's running, he's got that, he turns and fires back. The officer at that time, he may or may not have known he held had a taser in his hand. Now, most tasers I've seen, if you fire it, it fires darts one time. After that, you can't fire darts. You can hold the device, depending on the device, to a body and tase someone, but the darts themselves have been fired, if that's what happened. So two things. Did the suspect know he actually had a taser and not a real gun? Because even police officers have made bad decisions sometimes, saying they're reaching for a taser and they pulled a gun and shot and killed somebody when they thought they were going to tase them. In this case, I don't know if the suspect knew for sure what he had. I don't know at that moment if the officer was sure that that's all he had, or even on top of that, he's fired it at me, he's fleeing, he has committed a felony, an attack on one, two officers, and if he gets free, where's he going to go? And just because he, let's say he had no weapon whatsoever, I'm going to accept the taser is not a deadly weapon, but what if he had nothing and runs away? Do you want them to just back off, you'd like to stop him. And here comes the argument. Well, maybe just shoot him in the leg. Officers are trained to shoot for center mass, to stop. Yeah, you'd like to say, could you just hit him in the leg? It would have been an entirely different situation. Now, that's a quick rundown of that. I want you to hear again from Congressman Green as we go through the next break. But this video is not as clear as what we saw with George Floyd, with the officer and his knee in the back of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds as he continued to say, I can't breathe. That was an excessive amount of time. And the officer had plenty of time to let up because that man is restrained on the ground. This is not a restrained situation. We'll take a break. We'll come back and pick up the story for you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As we did with the George Floyd case, we should never make a determination of guilt or innocence of either party, either the suspect nor police officers, based on the video. And yet, with the George Floyd case, I was one of the ones to quickly say, yeah, that was excessive. However, we still have a trial and justice system in this country. And that's where it should be actually heard and decided. And with every piece of evidence in front of everyone that's involved making that verdict. Same way that with the Atlanta case, I can say I don't think that this qualifies for charging the officer with that. You could charge him with some other things maybe. But there are times that you have to accept that if someone's going to be combative with an officer and it gets to that level, no excuse, but it opens up Pandora's box, truly. Now, Congressman Green of Texas is also trying to invoke the Black Lives Matter issue again, as he did with the Atlanta shooting.
I would also add this. I truly regret that Black lives do not matter to the same extent as white lives.
I have a hard time with that statement. To me, all lives matter. But we're at a point now. You can't say all lives matter because then you're considering dismissing the Black Lives Matter argument. That's not the intent. Of course, Black Lives Matter, I've seen some say, we didn't say only Black Lives Matter. And white lives don't matter. I understand that. But why not accept all lives matter? Well, of course, they're trying to say is that the black lives have been subjected to police abuse, atrocities all these years. And white lives haven't. Actually, again, FBI stats will show you every year more whites are killed by cops than blacks. That aside, in this case, it went down in Atlanta. If the officer had been black and the suspect white, I would again find the officer probably doing it right and correct. I will tell you this. I would think that if Larry Connors were in that car and got out and they started to put handcuffs on me and I started fighting back and ran with that taser and turned, I would probably expect the same justice on the spot in the sense of the officer making his decision. Put yourself in that position, either the officer or the suspect. How do you see it going down? By the way, of course, after that event at Wendy's, Wendy's was just the location where it went down. They had nothing to do with it other than that. And yet it was immediately torched, ransacked, looted, and set on fire, arson. And earlier this month, Wendy's announced it was going to donate $500,000 to help the black community, promising to amplify black voices. $500,000. So then Wendy's, that location, becomes collateral damage. Sure, their insurance will pay for it, but the statement from Wendy's, our voice would be nothing without black culture. Right now, a lot of people are hurting because of blatant racism against black people. Their voices need to be heard, period. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Well, it didn't make any difference to those who decide to come and loot and burn Wendy's as a punishment. More on this issue when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures, 6 legs, 8 legs, maybe more? Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There is not going to be any easy solution to what we're facing in this nation right now. The sides are split. And you will find on both sides, minority groups included, that they're split. Not every black American thinks cops are out to kill black Americans. I didn't have time to pull a quote I was going to get for you earlier today, but I've seen several, and they're... I'm not trying to make any, simply supplant their argument, but just let you hear from them, as I have from Congressman Green earlier. But it's become a rally cry, and many whites are also accepting the fact that police, as you judge by the marches and so forth and protest, that cops are out to kill minorities on a constant basis. We're going to have, in due time at this rate, no one who wants to be a police officer. Why? Why would you go out there and do that? Democrat Congressman Green from Texas also says what we need is a, as if this will solve anything, creation of Department of Reconciliation. That's right, another government agency. Department of Reconciliation. a secretary of the Department of Reconciliation would work, quote, to eliminate racism and discrimination in this country. I wish I'd thought about it. If that was all it's going to take to eliminate racism and discrimination, by God, I'm all for it. We should have had that since we signed the Civil Rights Act. We should have put it in place once we got rid of Jim Crow laws. It's not that easily done, but it makes for good political fodder for those who just want to say I'm proposing something. And, of course, in the process, we also have an effort underway to tear down part of our history. Confederate history is history. And, unfortunately, as we pointed out the other day, those on the attack right now, they can't seem to distinguish and differentiate between what might have been, quote, racist slavery history of monuments, generals or whatever, and our monuments put up to honor black Americans. As we were talking about the other day, the group of blacks that went to war in the Civil War under a white general and fought with all their valor, and a mural put up for them in honor, and it was defaced the other day because it's Confederate history. There's a new survey out. According to this survey, a greater percentage of U.S. registered voters believe Confederate statues, which have been targeted in recent weeks, should remain standing despite activist demands to remove them. That's according to a Morning Consult poll just released. 44% believe the statue should remain standing. 32% say they should be removed. 23% no opinion. This is a slight shift in opinion over the last 3 years. And according to Morning Consult, the purported increase in support over the years is largely driven by Democrats. The vast majority of Republicans, 71%, believe they should remain standing. Majority of Democrats, 53%, believe they should be taken down. And yet, 40% of the Democrats believe they should remain standing. There is no racial breakout on the poll that I see. So those 40% Democrats, would they all be white? I don't know. Do you want to destroy history on a continuous basis if it doesn't fit your narrative? You want to ignore what's happened in this country? What's the next thing? Let's just ignore and wipe out the Holocaust museums and so forth because that's, you know, that's just a bad thing to remember. You want to hold a little Japanese girl born here in this country and hold her accountable for the Pearl Harbor attack? Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson was on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos. And, of course, there's been a lot of pressure on Trump because of a date they had set for a couple of his rallies, one in Tulsa, one being Juneteenth, June 19. It is a big day for black Americans. It is referenced to a day that in Texas they were told they were free. The president acceded and moved it to the next day. The 20th. It never was booked the 19th to create the furor that Democrats and the leftists were claiming. They're just saying, here he is again using that date, that date. I don't think anybody put anything into that at the time. And so let's accept the fact that it was a bad decision. Let's move the date. No big deal. And yet, when it comes to the National Convention, now scheduled for Jacksonville, his acceptance speech will be scheduled the way it is, August 27th. Now, August 27th in Jacksonville has become a point of contention because that's the day Trump will be accepting his nomination. So George Stephanopoulos rolls that into question to Housing and Urban Development Secretary Dr. Ben Carson.
And finally, sir, the president's convention acceptance speech is now scheduled for Jacksonville on August 27th, which is the 60th anniversary of Axe Handle Saturday, when a KKK mob attacked mostly black civil rights protesters. Is it appropriate to be having a convention speech on that anniversary in that city?
You know, we've reached a point in our society where we dissect everything and tried to ascribe some nefarious notion to it. We really need to move away from that. We need to move away from being offended by everything, of going through history and looking at everything, you know, of renaming everything. I mean, think about the fact that some of our universities, some of our prestigious universities, have a relationship with the slave trade. Should we go and rename those universities? It really gets to a point of being ridiculous after a while. And, you know, we're going to have to grow up as a society.
Dr. Ben Carson, I'm sure you know he's a black man. Owen Stephanopoulos had also previously pointed out the only black cabinet member in Trump's cabinet. That was a dig, believe me. It wasn't meant to highlight or anything else like that. NBC's Craig Melvin the other day was interviewing Senator Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina, and said, is a GOP using you as a token? A token. So if Republicans or even the Trump administration decides to tap or point to Dr. Ben Carson, is that a token? Is it a token that a senator is black but the GOP? I think Dr. Carson did nail it in the sense we've gotten to the point where we dissect everything, try to ascribe some nefarious notion to it. We really need to move away from that. We need to move away from being offended by everything. And he said, well, look at the universities. Many of them have relationships with the slave trade in the past. And don't forget, if you really want to pull things out and point them out, the Democrat Party, the Democrats were behind the KKK and Jim Crow laws. Democrats. How many times do you have to back up and apologize? And we're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour, because sometimes if you don't apologize, you're considered giving a blessing to those on the attack. But here's another example of a group that decided, I guess we're wrong, we never knew that. The country band, Lady Antebellum, announced the other day that it's going to change its name to Lady A. The decision made by the Grammy-winning group, as announced on Twitter, comes after much personal reflection. Embarrassed for not taking into consideration the word's association with slavery. They said, we chose a name after an antebellum-style home where they shot their first band photos. It reminded them of Southern styles of music. That's why they chose it. They didn't choose it to be racist. But now they say, our eyes have been opened to blind spots we didn't even know existed. Injustices, inequality, biases black women and men have always faced. And we're deeply sorry for anyone who's been offended by our name. This, they're banned. They can make a decision, do what they want. It's their decision. But right now, the pressure has been ramped up where you, if you speak your mind, you'll be condemned. And if you hold, bite your tongue, you might get by, you might drift by, and no one would pay attention that you're not saying anything. But, as we're going to see in the next hour, the very fact that you're not speaking out also makes you complicit in slavery and things of that nature. Antebellum just refers to that period of history. It's like Gone with the Wind. Banning Gone with the Wind, or trying to remake it, say it's, you know, it shouldn't be presented. And yet it's from that film that the Hattie Davis won her Oscar. First black woman to be nominated, first one to win. You're wiping out some of her history as well. We'll take a break when we come back. There's a few more things to be touched on this issue, including a major decision for the Supreme Court. I don't want to ignore that in this hour. It's still to come. Please stand by.
Nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So today the Supreme Court giving a big win to the LGBT community, a 6-3 decision. Then an employer who fires a worker for being gay or transgender does violate Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which already protected people from employer sex discrimination, as well as discrimination based on race, color, religion, or natural origin. And that decision dealing with three different cases. The court's opinion written by Justice Gorsuch, ours is a society of written laws. Judges are not free to overlook plain statutory commands on the strength of nothing more than suppositions about intentions or guesswork without expectations. We do not hesitate to recognize today a necessary consequence of that legislative choice. An employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender defies the law. I stand with the majority opinion of the Supreme Court. If we're going to have true unity in this nation, we cannot discriminate against anyone on any basis of sexual preference, race, religion, everything, all the rest of it. I think many of you probably would agree, and yet you may not be an LGBT fan or anything else, but if you're going to be honest about it, if you're talking about true democracy, I don't mean just democracy, but true equality, that's for everyone. Everyone. Not just some. Still, on the other hand, when someone goes to a Christian baker knowing that they would refuse to bake a cake for their wedding, and they go there just to pick a fight and start with it, I'm on the side of the baker. They should be allowed to decide if I am or am not going to take that job. And the true test would be how many that have challenged a Christian baker for a cake or whatever have done the same with a Muslim baker or food shop. Nope, because they're trying to make Christians a target. And I also stand with Christians. And I stand with Muslims to make sure that we do not discriminate strictly based on your religion. So the Trump campaign is now set for the 20th in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they already, this seat, this facility holds only 19,000. They have 300,000 requests for tickets. So everyone who thought everything going on right now will certainly destroy Trump. Bill Maher, American comedian, political commentator, and television host, says the left is playing absolutely stupid. He said when they start shouting defund the police, you're giving the election to Donald Trump. I'm going to let you hear direct from Bill Maher in the next hour. Yeah, a lot of the things they are doing is just adding to the Trump stance. Protest, marchers, peaceful, that's fine. That's our First Amendment right. When you start arson, looting, hurting, attacking cops that had nothing to do with anything anywhere simply because they have a uniform, that's also going to help the Trump campaign. And there are a lot of those inside some of these communities that probably share the view I just had and express, but they're not going to express it because they can't. They fear it would be too much backlash, either in their place of employment, relatives, friends, community. Which brings us to another point we're going to get into in the next hour, and that is a Cornell professor talking about that he had decided to make it clear as to where he stood on Black Lives Matter. And when he did so, immediately he came under attack. This is a conservative professor at Cornell. He said, I'm the only conservative professor there. And he said, because I chose to express my view, I'm under vicious attack, even by other colleagues that I considered friends. Rather than taking me aside and saying, okay, let's talk about this, they came out and condemned him right away. And here's the rub. He said, leftist professors can voice their opinion one way or the other, and we know the track they're going to take, and no one holds them accountable, no one threatens them, and they're all given not only applause, pats on the back, but attaboys in the process. And the other insidious part of this story is if you don't speak out and support, if you don't speak out and support, let's say, Black Lives Matter, it's not enough to just be silent. If you don't say, I'm in support of it, then you're condemned and you become a target. I have always said, I thought by this time in my life, I would have thought 30 years ago at that time in my life, we would be past this racial division. Kids are not born racist. They are taught that by adults. If we could all just go back to being children in the sense that color means nothing. We play together, have fun together. But unfortunately, we're way past that time. Doesn't mean we can't go back to it. We all had to work with it. So we'll take a break. When we come back in the next hour, we'll go over some of these subjects I just laid out for you. We will begin with our news and commentary.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.